Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, Jared Greenberg is going to join us from NBA TV, one of our NBA analysts/insiders. He'll join us coming up in about 18 minutes from now. We'll talk about the new look Philadelphia 76ers after adding Tobias Harris. Could they have the best starting five in the Eastern Conference? Are they now the favorites in the East? We'll talk about also the Celtics butchering a 28-point lead against the Clippers over the weekend. After Kyrie went down, they went down as well. And we'll talk about the playoff in general, the playoff picture in general. Jared Greenberg will join us at 20 minutes past the hour. Elsewhere in the NBA, if the Knicks just play their cards right, they might end up getting Kevin Durant. They are projected to have two max contract slots, and so the Knicks could sell Kevin Durant on two things. Number one, hey, you come here and pick your guy to get the other max contract. Okay? You tell us who your other guy is. You set it up. You organize it. You tell your boy you want to play together. We'll bring you in here. And now you can pick your roster, essentially. Plus, we should have a top three pick of the NBA draft, a top five pick of the NBA draft. Knowing how bad we are, maybe we're number one. Maybe we get Zion Williamson. Who knows? Of course, that comes after free agency is then declared in early July. But if you're starting to run back channel feelers to Kevin Durant, that is the sell for the Knicks. We should have a high draft pick, two max deals. You pick the other guy. And number two, if you win here, you are immortalized forever. You've won two titles at Golden State. Perhaps you'll win three titles in Golden State, and that will never be your team. They will never love you the way that they love Steph Curry. They won before you. They can win after you. That'll never be your championship. It'll never be your town. You come to New York. You win here. You become immortal. You are Joe Namath. You are Mark Messier. You are Reggie Jackson. If you take a New York franchise and you put it on your back to a championship, you are a king in the kings of the cities in the States. There you go. That's the pitch. And all the Knicks have to do right now is sit back and not screw this up. Because it seems like everything that we're hearing, Warriors brass are prepared for KD to leave and that Kevin Durant has real interest in the Knicks. Now, you know my bit on this. The Knicks, to me, highly dysfunctional, one of the worst owners in all of sports. He's vindictive. He's petty. He's a Richie Rich. Dad built an empire, Cablevision. Son didn't do anything, was a washout and a bum, and inherited, oh, nice, an NBA team and an NHL team. Must be nice. So there is no obvious redemptive qualities to working for James Dolan. Apparently, if you're on the right side of James Dolan, you're set for life. But those people include Isaiah Thomas, so go figure. I don't know if you want to be involved in that side of James Dolan's life. But all the Knicks have to do is stay out of their own way. And what do we have? We have two things that have happened recently. Two instances that make you scratch your head and go, wow, they're going to screw this one up too. They're going to screw this one up too. Number one. When Kristaps Porzingis was traded a couple of weeks ago, MSG, their television network, upon the trade the day after during a Knicks game, puts up a full screen graphic. The full screen graphic about Kristaps Porzingis, okay, should just have his scoring numbers, his rebound numbers, maybe minutes played. You don't have to say anything else. Knicks fans know what you're trying to do. You're trying to clear cap space. You're trying to clear roster space. You're trying to bring in Kevin Durant or somebody else. Instead, MSG Television Graphics Department puts up, drafted fourth overall in 2015 NBA draft, averaged 14.3 points in rookie season, last season first All-Star selection, and then played in 186 of possible 296 career games with the New York. Okay, that's obviously a passive-aggressive shot. What you're saying is he was relatively injury-prone. He missed 100 of 300 games, essentially. That's what you're saying. Probably unnecessary, but again, that's just fact. So games missed due to injury, if you're trying to validate trading him, you put it up there, and some might call it petty. Others might say, hey, you know, that's part of the player card on him. But MSG Brass took it a step further and included on this player card, skipped exit meeting with front office after 2016-2017 season.
Oh, okay.
Again, this is a team-owned television network putting up a player card of the guy they just traded and included in his bio when he skipped the exit meeting. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I know I've never seen that. All that does is once again underscore how petty and vindictive that organization is. So that's the first flare up to Kevin Durant's team. Oh, by the way, the last guy that was considered the unicorn and the franchise guy, the Knicks just you-know-what all over on his way out the door. On the team network, they brought up on his player card that he skipped an exit meeting. Nice. And then we double it down yesterday because the Knicks sent out a pitch to their season ticket holders to re-up for next year and had an image of rookie center Mitchell Robinson. Okay, you would definitely not re-up for season tickets for Mitchell Robinson alongside Kevin Durant.
Oh, okay.
Now it's Durant in a Warriors uniform, but still curious, don't you think? Hey, everyone, re-up for 2019-2020. Knicks basketball, catch it. It's Mitchell Robinson and that guy Kevin Durant who will probably be on our team. This, of course, caught the attention of everybody in New York, and so quickly the Knicks had to take it down. The Knicks said in a statement, to be clear, it was one of several rotating photos on the website. I mean, just don't mess this up. Just don't mess it up. You might have Kevin Durant who wants to come. You might have him eating out of your hand. You just have to tell him, pick who you want to play with. And instead, they're going after the last superstar in total Mean Girls fashion. And now they're putting up a graphic. Hey, psst. We're going to have Kevin Durant next year. So you definitely want to re-up with us. So much so that now it's a story that they've got to take it down. You idiots! In the immortal voice of Ren Hoke. idiot, Steampy. Just don't screw this up. The Knicks are definitely going to screw it up, aren't they? They're definitely on the verge of screwing this thing up. Which, by the way, I just want to add this. If Kevin Durant does indeed sign with the Knicks, and he is this prickly about attention and speculation and pressures, oh boy. I got to tell you, Kevin, you're going to love New York. Going to love it. Because everybody is so nice. The media is so hands-off. Nobody ever speculates. There's never any crazy, angry sports talk. There's very few media members. It's a very quiet, sleepy, hometown type of feel. You're going to love it here. I mean, if Durant is feeling pressure now, what's it going to feel like for Kevin Durant if he's putting this dysfunctional mess on his back in New York City? Good luck with all that. I hope that happens because I would love to see how crazy it gets. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Michael tweets, DA, hearing about Julian Edelman and PEDs reminds me of the steroid era in baseball. It still angers me personally to this day. It's very interesting. In baseball, fans took it personally, the steroid era. And maybe that's because hallowed records were taken down. Maybe it's because we kind of knew but weren't told that this is ridiculous and this is absurd. Maybe it's because baseball turned cartoonish. And maybe because it's too subtle in football. Like, would you know if Julian Edelman was on PEDs? He's not catching 200 passes. He's not going for 3,000 yards. He doesn't jump 2 feet higher than the corner. He doesn't outrun everybody on the field. So maybe because football, there's no way to know what that slight advantage is or a massive advantage because we don't have Brady Anderson types hitting 50 home runs or the equivalent in football. Maybe that's why it is. Maybe because it was the first one for it really to be in our face. For whatever reason, PEDs in baseball made people so angry that baseball had to really overcorrect itself. And in football, clearly we do not care because Edelman is the Super Bowl MVP and gets away with straight out lying about whether he's allowed to talk about his PED suspension. He is. And he can tell Peter King, no, I'm not allowed to talk about it. No, you are. You're just lying because you don't want to talk about it. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. James is next up in Arizona, listening on 100.5 there. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
How we doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing today?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Weekend was great.
Glad
I got out of town.
It.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Alliance this weekend. All is good.
Me too. It was quality football, man. It was actually really good to see. I mean, this is going to be a feeder league for the NFL. I hope to see some of these guys actually make it up there.
Yeah, and if that's what ends up happening, where this is a developmental league, where we're watching the stars of this league end up on NFL rosters, I think that's definitely an easy hook. You'd want to watch that.
Definitely. And now, as you guys touched on PEDs, man, to tell you the truth, I think the difference is in baseball, it's not a physical sport like it is in football. I mean, these guys are sacrificing their bodies. Some of them don't even make it out of training camp, and they're, you know, out of their career or season-ending injuries. So I think we accept it more with football because these guys are really, they're grown men putting their bodies on the line and doing damage to each other. I mean, if there was a lot more hitting in baseball and basketball and stuff like that, the use of PEDs instead of just for record-breaking would be, I think, a little more accepted. But these guys did it just to break records.
Okay,
you know?
So that's an interesting take here, James. I see what you're saying because I've heard of this a lot. Hey, we expect these kind of gladiators to throw their bodies on the line, and so using HGH or using PEDs, more acceptable. But I would turn it around a little bit on this. Doesn't having a physical competitive advantage in a collision sport, shouldn't that be more frowned upon? knowing that you can take out a guy's knee, knowing that you can take out a guy's shoulder, knowing that you can alter the next guy, the guy next to you, his entire career and his earnings, shouldn't we be more outraged about PEDs in football? Like Sean Merriman, once upon a time, PEDs and suspended. Now that guy can come off the edge, he can swim, move the tackle, and drill and drive a quarterback into the ground, or blow up a running back, or take out a wide receiver over the middle. Now, is it better for that guy to use PEDs? Okay, Edelman's not going to hurt anybody physically because he's on offense. He's a little wide receiver. But I think you could make the argument that PEDs are more dangerous in a collision sport, just like MMA. When we come back here on the DA Show, Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, on what the Sixers' potential now is with Tobias Harris, what has happened to the Celtics, and the playoff picture in general. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Too much fun with audio.
And he goes up to Chris. He says, "Hey, Chris, look who I've got here." He says, "Is that your son?" I said, "No, not my son." Try again. He says, "Is that Damon Amendola's son?" He's 21 years old.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
There are no 21-year-old sons in my life. I just want that on record. I am scurvious. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to us everywhere, including across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our wonderful affiliates, and SiriusXM Channel 206. The best of video clips are available on YouTube as well and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Joining us now to talk NBA is our good friend from NBA TV, Jared Greenberg. Jared, good morning.
Oh, it's that time of the year.
What does that mean?
Well, you remember who I am.
Oh, right. Football's over.
Yeah. Hi, DA.
Hey, man. How's it going? How's the season been? Who's in first place?
Wow. Wow. How is the time in my great city of Atlanta?
Let me tell you. I thought Atlanta was an amazing host city. I thought that everything being consolidated downtown was very good. There was a lot of closed streets and some congestion, but that's to be expected. But I thought that you can tell when there's hospitality in a Super Bowl town because you're paid to be hospitable, and then when there's real hospitality. And I thought everybody down there was literally happy for people to see Atlanta, and that goes a long way.
Well, that's funny because they were paid to be there because nobody's downtown other than the Super Bowl.
But I'm talking about my Uber drivers and my waitresses and the people around town that I got to meet. I mean, I just thought that everybody was legitimately very hospitable, which is a great item to have in your city.
Yeah, well, I wasn't hospitable. You and I didn't get to hang out when you were down there. I was a little disappointed about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can I say?
Let's talk some hoops, DA. You excited for the NBA stretch run? We only got about 25, 26 games left.
Yes, I am. So I want to ask you, Boston Celtics, is there blame to go on Brad Stevens for the fact that this has been kind of a sideways season with the big expectations and the fact that they coughed away a 28-point lead the other day?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all just want to give blame anytime things don't go well. I'll reserve blame for a playoff failure. Because I think that we've kind of underappreciated or undervalued just how big of an overtaking this would be, which Brad Stevens was very open about over the summer into the preseason about how difficult this would be for a team with all of these young up-and-coming stars, or at least players with potential to be stars, who were in quote-unquote starring roles last year in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then all of a sudden, because the team's two best players, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, were coming back, they would have to change roles. So, listen, we're, you know, more than 50 games in, and you should start to see improvement, but we did. I mean, prior to this, the team won 11 of 12 games, right? So let's not throw it all away for one really bad loss, which was it's a terrible loss. In the NBA, you don't want to give up. It's very rare that you give up 28-point leads. But I will say, I before I start to say Brad Stevens is not the golden child anymore of NBA coaches, I will say let's wait to see what he does in the playoffs, because right now what he has is this playoff experience with a lot of these young guys, which so many of the other teams in the NBA, or at least in the Eastern Conference, don't have.
Do you consider the addition of Tobias Harris, now the 76ers, the best team in the East?
I wouldn't put him at the best in the East. Again, you know, let's be consistent in our conversations here. What the Celtics have had over 50 games to try and figure out and get right, it's going to now take the Sixers just over 20 games to get right. And let's not have short memory failure. And I know you were locked into the NFL when this was happening. Mm. But when the Sixers acquired Jimmy Butler, they won their they lost their first game, but then they went on to win several games right after acquiring him. And then they kind of had a rocky road. So these things kind of happen, and the opponent plays into a lot of this, and how you're playing, and the adrenaline and the momentum. You know, let's Philadelphia, I think, did a great. It was a great move. Now, listen, they have to retain Tobias Harris to make this great, because what they had to give up to get him was a huge haul. So I would just say let's be patient, and as much as we're unsure about the Celtics, let's not give a couple games to the Sixers and say crown them the best team in the East yet.
Jerry Greenberg, our guest from NBA TV. So let's go back to that. I mean, is it too risky for the 76ers have traded for an expiring contract like Tobias Harris if he ups and leaves in the offseason?
Yes. I would say absolutely, because you're trying to build around the thing that they're doing here, which is interesting as opposed to so many other teams, is they already have the franchise changer in Embiid. And I think most people would say that, you know, not far behind him is Ben Simmons, although there's a lot in his game that people still need to see. But what you're trying to do is create a situation where you can plug in holes around him. And Tobias Harris is a borderline all-star. I mean, I would have made the argument that he should have been made the all-star team this year from the Clippers. But you go and you get him and you give up a guy like, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners truly understand how good Landry Shamet was who they gave up for him. But then to give up two first-round picks in the NBA, there's only two first-round picks out there that are unconditional, meaning that there's no protections on them, that it could be the first overall pick is conveyed. The Sixers just gave up one of those two in a couple of years from now to get a guy like Tobias Harris. So it's very risky. On top of the fact that all they had to give up to get Jimmy Butler, who could walk as well, I think it's probably more likely that they try and keep Tobias Harris and let Jimmy Butler walk. But if you have those two guys go and then all you gave up for him, and if you don't win a title after all of this, yeah, it's a lot, because now you're trying to impress Joel Embiid, and if you can't retain guys around Embiid, he's going to be sitting there saying, what's going on, guys?
Sixers have a great starting five, but we worry about their bench. The Celtics have been kind of sideways all season long. The Bucks have Giannis, and he's amazing, but are the Raptors the best team top to bottom in the East?
Yes, there's no question. And what they also have, too, which I was kind of getting at with the Celtics, is they have guys who maybe they haven't necessarily done it together, which is going to be a big question mark heading into the playoffs. But you add Marc Gasol, who went deep into the playoffs many times with Memphis. He went to the Western Conference Finals once. You have Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, who won championships with San Antonio, to a team that has guys like Kyle Lowry, who, listen, he's had his playoff failures, there's no doubt, but he's been through it a lot. They're playing very good basketball, and I think that experience of not only tasting success but tasting failure in the playoffs is so important in the NBA. The Warriors didn't win a title the first time they got together and played basketball. In fact, you know, they lost in the NBA playoffs. So it's a little bit of, you know, you got to take a step back, take two steps forward, and I think that's going to be a huge advantage for them. You know, I think Milwaukee's a great team too, DA, as you're talking about, but they've only been to the playoffs twice, and they lost in the first round each time. So is that enough for them? I think it's going to be a great question as we head into the stretch run.
Everybody torched Kevin Durant last week for him lashing out of the media after taking 9 days of media silence, radio silence. I did as well. You're usually more level-headed about these things. Was there a defense to be made for Kevin Durant in the way that he handled himself last week?
No, I mean, I understand the constant questions, and if that was it, my issue is this. Number one, if you just want to play basketball, which he said a couple of times during his press conference, there are plenty of basketball courts in this country, in this world. There are plenty of basketball leagues in this country and in this world where nobody will bother you before, during, or after a game. Go play at a local Y. Go play basketball. Go have fun. Nobody will ask you a single question about where you're going to play next year because it's not the NBA. you chose to make millions of dollars playing basketball in the NBA, and part of your actual contractual obligation is to speak with the media. Now, if you have a problem with them constantly asking you about where you're going to be next year as a free agent, then come up with a stock answer and just say that. You're allowed to answer questions however you want. Just, you know, you don't always have to be a jerk about it. And I don't know if he was being a jerk about it, but him using the excuse of the one particular writer, Ethan Strauss, who is one of the most talented writers in the NBA, you know, I believe if I have my dates right, that this was last week, you know, I'm not very good at math, DA, that he took the 9 days off of speaking to the media. He came out, I believe it was on February 6th. It was the day before February 5th when Ethan Strauss' piece came out. So to blame 9 days on media silence of something that came out the day before is just, to me, an excuse. It was a crutch. And it was disappointing to hear from Kevin Durant, who listen, he can say whatever he wants to the media, but to be a jerk about it and to take it out on the media for wanting to get to know you because the fans want to get to know you, I think is a little ridiculous. And again, I circle back. You can play basketball anywhere you want. You can go to a local Y, you can go to your local, you know, street corner and play basketball, and nobody will ever ask you any questions about where you're going to play next year.
Yeah, and doesn't it feel a little disappointing or that he just lacks self-awareness? He's going to be a free agent because he signed 1 and 2 year deals.
Correct.
This is obviously part of his storyline. So this idea that he can escape the speculation of where he's going to go, it's just like, wow, Kevin Durant, I think, is a good guy largely, but boy, does he have some blind spots, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. And listen, he's good enough where the team's been cool with him signing these 1 and 2 year deals, and in certain instances has actually helped the team in terms of their salary cap and luxury tax situation, but that's not even it. I mean, I think you're right. You know, he's got every right to sign whatever deal he wants, but you're right. You should be aware of your situation that you, in addition to signing up to play for the Warriors, you've also signed up to be a free agent next year.
Had he signed a 4-year, 5-year deal, he doesn't have to deal with those questions. It's like, what do you think? You're one of the best basketball players in the world, and when you change teams, you shift the fortunes of an entire league. Of course we're going to wonder about where you're going to go. Like, I can't believe he thinks that that's an unfair part of this reality for him.
No, I'm with you on that, DA. I'm totally with you. I think there is a human element to it to a certain extent, but I think that what you're talking about outweighs that because there are ways out of it. And here's the thing. You know, he plays for the team, the Golden State Warriors, that have head and shoulders. It's not even close. It's not even a team that's even worthy of being in second place in terms of their PR department. The Golden State Warriors have the best PR department in all of sports, not just the NBA. And the fact that he can't even take advantage of that and learn how to massage the situation and spin it and take control of it, take hold of the narrative, be the guy who comes out every day and says, listen, you know, come up with a stock answer. I haven't decided anything. I'll decide that July 1st. We'll get into all that July 1st. And just put that on repeat and keep on saying that, or come up with any answer that suits you, you just can't get annoyed with the situation that you've created.
Yeah. Jared Greenberg joins us from NBA TV. I apologize that it comes to this, that we only call you after the Super Bowl is done, but now you become our favorite guest. You know this. We love you here on the show, and so I hope that you answer our phone calls next time around.
How many other people do you say are your favorite guests?
I mean, we're down to a pretty thin bench here. I mean, maybe 2 or 3.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Good. So I'm okay with that.
Okay. Thanks, Jared.
You guys are the best. Appreciate it.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, joining us here on the DA Show. When we come back, a little cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Can we do it? Let's see if we can do it. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Jim Rome coming up next. Mraz is clinging to life now as we try to kill him via eggnog, ladies and gentlemen.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
43 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA Show available on your timeline, your Facebook timeline. Go to facebook.com/TheDAShow and like the show page. Time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Jimmy asks, DA, with the AAF getting started and the XFL starting at the same time next year, is there a bigger advantage or disadvantage to being the first one out of the gate? Great question, Jim. Great question. In some ways, it's a disadvantage because the alliance will go through problems. They can suffer black eyes. and the XFL can sit back and wait and watch the mistakes and then learn from them. Except I believe being first is a bigger advantage than disadvantage. I think the advantage outweighs the disadvantage. Because here's the thing. If you do it well, if the Alliance does this well, it has a year head start to create loyalty amongst the customer and loyalty with the player. You see, these guys that are playing on Saturdays and Sundays in the spring, they want a shot of the bigs. They want a shot of the NFL. That's why they're playing. And if they view stability in the Alliance, if they see, okay, these coaches aren't a disaster, the stadiums and how we're treated and travel, not a disaster, my paychecks are clearing, and I'm getting looks in the NFL, or guys in the league are getting looks in the NFL, that might be enough to keep them in the Alliance instead of trying, okay, let's see what the XFL is. Whereas you were telling me there are exclusive rights. You have to have a multi-year AAF deal so that you can't play for the XFL next year?
So every single AAF player from the 53rd man on the roster, the punter, to every starting quarterback has signed the same exact three-year deal. The first year they get $70,000, the second year they get $80,000, the third year they get $100,000, totaling $250,000 for 3 years.
70, 80, and 125, you said?
Yeah, $250,000 over 3 years. 80. 70, 80, and 100.
Got it.
Okay? So If you are allowed out of your contract if you get an NFL offer to go play in the NFL. You are not allowed out of your contract if you want to go play in the XFL. That is in everybody's signed contract. So the only way for the XFL to acquire talent is to take next year's round of NFL cuts that aren't yet in the Alliance, jump on paying them over paying the guy paying or over the Alliance paying them, or hope that you either get the guys cut from Alliance rosters already, which who knows, that could be a Christian Hackenberg, or a guy goes to the NFL, plays for the NFL for six games, then gets released, and now he's fully out of that contract to get back to the XFL. But they can't poach, essentially, the most talented guys that won't be going to the NFL from the Alliance rosters.
So this is a big deal for the Alliance, because that means the best players not to play in the NFL are right now on the Alliance, in the Alliance.
For 3 years.
And they can't go to the XFL unless the Alliance cuts bait with them. So that's the first wave of talent. That's a real serious competitive advantage because, as I said, do I like this because it's fringy and niche-y? Yes, I like that part of sports. I like minor league baseball. I like silly hats and logos. I like the fringe of sports. I just always get a kick out of that. But what I watched over the weekend as a football fan, I thought it was quality football. I watched most of the Orlando-Atlanta game on Saturday night, and I was very impressed by Orlando's offense, the way that they ran Spurrier's offense. Garrett Gilbert and company, they ran what appeared to be a smooth offense, smoother than what we saw in the Rams of the Super Bowl. Again, against limited competition, I realized, but it wasn't clunky and it wasn't a sloppy football game, which is something that's an easy turnout. And then also I watched a bunch of last night's Arizona game, and I thought that the Hotshots, again, played a fairly crisp brand of football. And if that's going to be the quality, then it's worth watching. I equated it to, and Mraz, you can tell me if you agree with this, I thought it felt like watching grown men play just under power conference football in college football. So let's think of the American Football League, like a Houston. I thought it was at that level, but grown men. You could tell that they were not college players. They were filled out. They were, you know, grown men. I thought it felt like if I was watching a lower tier Power 5 team or an upper tier Group of 5 team.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And I think you bring up a unique question with this AAF for anybody who wants to doubt it or question it. Other than just being steeped with rich and tradition of college football, because we all love college football on the show, then what if you watch college football, why would you not watch the AAF other than the fact that you just have other stuff going on in February and March? Because if you want to say it's not NFL caliber, that's fine. these are grown men that were stars at each one of these big colleges. We've seen. We saw stars at Texas A&M and Miami playing over the weekend. So if you're all in on college football, other than it just being traditional, you're alumni and you've known it for 100 years, why wouldn't you watch the AAF and kind of not, you know, dismiss the brand?
Yeah, that I totally agree. I mean, the time of year maybe is just out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're now taxed from football because we just had the long season. But watching the games over the weekend, I thought it was like watching Houston versus UCF, but with grown men playing. That quality of football, but with actual adults. I thought that it was better than, say, if I was watching Iowa State take on Kansas. But let's say that it's in that realm. Would I watch Iowa State Kansas? Yes, I would. I do anyway. So that was the quality of football that I thought was there, and I think it's only going to get better as these teams get more organized. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
A big deal for Tom Crean. The first ever five-star basketball player signs with the Georgia Bulldogs. He stays in state. Five-star Anthony Edwards chooses Kentucky, chooses Georgia over Kentucky, over Florida State, and never ended up making his visits to Kansas and North Carolina. Again, this is a kid recruited by Kentucky, Kansas, UNC. Said no to all of them, chose Georgia. He said he wanted to stay in state. He said, Tom Crean is a great dude. I want to stay here and put the school back on the basketball map. I mean, you might have to go back to Dominique in the early 80s, for Georgia Bulldogs basketball to really matter. But he's a five-star kid. He's the number five recruit in the entire nation. And this is outrageous because Georgia's so bad. The Bulldogs are 1-9 in the SEC. The only team worse than them in the conference is Vanderbilt at 0-10. They're a sub-500 team. They're 0-6 against ranked opponents. They're 1-9 of the SEC. They're the second worst team in the league, and they just pulled in a five-star recruit, the number five kid in the nation. What an enormous win by Tom Crean, and I give Edwards credit because that's not an easy, popular thing to do amongst your friends and your peers and the people around you in schools and AAU circuits. You want to play for the big boys and cut down Final Four nets, etc., but Edwards staying home, and I like to see it. Huge win by Tom Crean.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And while we are bullish on the Alliance here on the show, I think at times Mraz goes a little too far.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
So I watched both games, two TVs, as if it was an NFL Sunday with the red zone on one, the main game on the other. Flip it back and forth in volume. Sunday, I had to go to in-laws for Sunday dinner. I made sure I arrived early to watch the entirety of the Express Birmingham Iron game.
Le who? The her.
I watched every single snap, essentially, but not all with audio.
Okay, here's a good question. Would Blake Bortles start in the Alliance?
He probably would.
He's better than Hackenberg.
Yeah, if Hackenberg's starting, Bortles would get the start for Memphis.
Pass intercepted by Tyler Kamen. Return for a touchdown. Flag on the play.
Matter of fact, if I'm the Jaguars, I start rethinking this Nick Foles thing and start thinking, hey, maybe Garrett Gilbert's our guy. for Tommy Maddox.
You saw one game, and you are ready to put Garrett Gilbert starting quarterback of the Jaguars. Will the AAF be bigger than the NBA? It's not going to be bigger than the NBA.
Don't pump the brakes.
No.
America loves football.
In 5 years, the Spring Football League is not going to overtake the NBA.
How did that happen?
It overtook it in 1 week.
One day, opening weekend, no, it's not going to overtake the NBA.
You merge with the XFL, you got something on your hands here.
A quarterback of the Birmingham Iron ended up going into bowling. He was an elite bowler, and he ended up putting all of his chips on the table for bowling, but he ended up coming back for this league, had a really good debut, and so now people are wondering, could he be the first Bo Jackson-esque player in the Alliance?
The biggest stage out there.
Very good football player, also elite bowler.
Candle pin?
Right now, what I'm hearing, it's regular bowling.
Okay.
Full pin bowling. But what I'm hearing is they've thought about a Kyler Murray loophole where it would allow Luis to earn money on the side, championship bowling-wise, while he also supplements his income.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mike tweets, DA, somebody get the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, a bald head and the Professor X wheelchair. Let's see that mutant offense. Spurrier was really, he was hobbled on the sideline. Apparently, he had just had back surgery. And so the old ball coach, he was really hobbling. But the offense ran smoothly. What can I say? It was a fun watch. If you missed Alliance Primetime this morning show as Bogish played Chris Berman and Mraz played Tom Jackson, we'll post that on YouTube. I think you'll get a kick out of the Alliance highlights combined with the old primetime music. That was a lot of fun. We'll do that every Monday throughout the Alliance season. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan at watchda.com with a simulcast. Andrew Bogish on your headlines and the voice of Alliance Primetime. I'm DA. Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.